just want to, I want to introduce my friend by talking just for a second about counsel. If you have been around me for very long, you know one of my heart cries is that I love counsel. I love counsel in the form of, obviously, the Word of God is my first form of counsel. I love counsel because my counsel taught me early on the counsel of books, which is why we have this resource table back here, because I am a huge believer in you living in the Bible, but feeding on books. Good, sound, God-fearing books. And that's why there's always going to be resources back there for you to go look at and write down some titles and read and saturate yourself. And my third form of counsel is people. Huge in my life. I don't think I've used counsel as much in my life as I have over the past 6 months. I have been saturating myself with counsel, just digging into counsel. And the definition, as you know, if you know me, you know I love definitions. The definition of counsel is advice or guidance, especially as solicited from a knowledgeable person. Knowledge without application is worthless. And listen, moms, this is why I love the ministry of Moms with Swords, is because sitting beside you is somebody that God can use to speak into your life. We have so many older moms this session, and I'm putting myself in there because I'm 45. We've got so many older moms that you younger moms, where's our 21-year-old mom? Where is she? Alyssa, is she not here? She's in Columbus, darn it. We have a 21-year-old mom. So she has a room full of wisdom and knowledge to seek out. So if your prayer group leader, you have the ability to get counsel, y'all, to get counsel. And that is what the Word talks about. Listen, I just pulled out some of my favorites. The first form of counsel, Proverbs 19:21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Moms, that is your first form of counsel, is the Lord himself. That's your first form of counsel. But listen, God gives you counsel in the form of people. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool, and y'all, I can be a fool sometimes. I've got to get counsel. The way a fool seems right to them. Y'all, when God gives me what we're doing every session, I got to say, Lord, is this foolish? Is this joy's way? Is this what joy wants it to be? So you know what joy does? Joy goes to the Word, and joy goes to her counsel. Because Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools, joy, you're a fool without me. The way a fool seems right to them, but the wise, y'all, the wise listen to advice. Y'all, listen to advice. Some of you still have your sweet mama. I don't have my mama here on earth anymore. I have my spiritual mother, but I don't have my mother. Go to your mom. Ask for counsel. What do I do with this baby that wants to nurse 24/7? What do I do? Seek it out. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline. I am stepping all over you firstborn toes. You A, type A personalities, because you can do it yourself. Listen, if you are a daughter of Christ, you cannot do it yourself. You need counsel. You need it. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Who wants to be wise? Y'all, I want to be wise. And Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. That's Jesus. I will counsel you with my eye on you. He is the wonderful counselor you sing about at Christmas. Go to him first, but be wise and listen to the counsel around. Just why I love what this ministry does. And I was taught early that you need to eulogize people while they're alive. So two of my counsels are here today, and I'm going to eulogize them while they are alive and in this place. Beth Bennett, many of you know Beth is my spiritual mother. I have known Beth for 23 plus years, and she is here today. And I just want to honor her. This woman, my mom, she came to my mom on her, when my mom was dying. And I remember my mom said, Joy, you've got Beth. You've got Beth. So my mom loved her. She knew what Beth would be for me. And Beth has been such a sound just a voice of counsel. I mean, she is my sister. She is my sister in Christ. But man, y'all, this woman is wise. If you can get to her today, you need to get to her today. Because she is wise. She is wonderful. And I love her. And she drove all the way from Alpharetta to be here. So a wise counsel of mine, I admonish you today. I bless you today. I love you, Beth Bennett. I love you. Yes, I love her. I love her so much. And then finally, our teacher today, Tracy Hurst, who has been a counsel for me. And I told her the other day, she's kind of been a form of not as intentional counseling for me. But I said, Tracy, I'm just warning you today. You're going to be my intentional counsel coming day. Starting today, I'm going to be calling you. We're going to be getting together because this woman is wise. Tracy and I go way back to our Mount Perrin days. Tracy and I have known each other for 20 plus years. Beth is also, we share Beth. She is her spiritual mother as well, just a sister in Christ. But Tracy is here today to bring the word, y'all. Get ready. Tracy is a licensed professional counselor. She's an author, conference speaker, and former co-host guest on Marriage and Family Today, which airs on the Moody Radio. Tracy was appointed by the governor of Georgia to serve on the Georgia Composite Board of Professional Counselors, Social Workers, and Marriage and Family Therapists with the task of evaluating and approving the licensures of counselors. Again, if you can get to her today, get to her. Tracy received her master's degree in counseling psychology from Georgia School of Professional Psychology. She also studied Christian counseling at Richmond Graduate University. She's a mom. She has two daughters. She's going to tell you, I'm not going to take that away from her. She's going to tell you about that. And her husband, Michael, who I love dearly. Tracy and I go way back. I am honored to have for us today to receive from this wealth of knowledge. I go to church here. This is my church. I love my church. And Pastor Craig Bowler is my pastor. He's our anchor for Moms with Swords, and his daughter Adele babysits for Tracy. Heather Canup, who's another form of counsel for me, who works here at Sanctuary. Heather said she loaned Adele to Tracy to babysit. So it just is so cool how the web that the Lord is, it's just a beautiful tapestry. So I am honored. Welcome to Moms with Swords, and let's welcome this amazing woman of God, Tracy Hurst.
Love you. Well, I am just so thrilled to be here with you, and I am a mom just like you. I keep looking to make sure I don't have peanut butter, you know, from my little one on me, but if you see it, I'm amongst women who have kids, right? We're going to love each other through it. I have a 10-year-old, and then we were blessed with a bonus named Audrey Grace, who is 15 months. And so she is the cutest thing ever. But let me just say, we were one and done. And now I can promise you, double knots, we are two and through. Amen? We are two and through. And so God, you know, we can trust him. But you will find me most days in yoga pants. I was so excited to put on cute shoes today. Like, this is a highlight for me. You know what I mean? And you will find me running carpool. I'm changing diapers. Can you, 15 months, anybody else right there with me? I mean, throwing things is like her big thing right now. So I'm getting a lot of ab workout, which is great, you know, and I'm preparing meals. I'm cleaning my house. And so I don't know about you. There are days I feel like I get up, I run around crazily, I go to sleep only to get up and do it again. Anyone else? And there are days when I feel overwhelmed. I feel the weight of the to-do list and I begin to feel stressed out. And on those days, what I've learned to do, moms, is when I begin to feel stressed or when I begin to feel any negative emotion outside of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, mercy, and self-control, when I find myself in any negative emotion, I stop and I pause. And I recognize as soon as possible, I need to get in the Word of God and I need to receive something from Him. And in one of those mornings when everything was piling up and I began to feel overwhelmed, I stumbled on Psalm 61. And it's going to be up here on the screen. Let's read this together. David says this, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And the word heart there is defined as emotions and thoughts. It's where our will is found and where our passions lie. So what David is saying to us here is, when my emotions and thoughts are overwhelming me, and the word overwhelmed in the 1828 Webster Dictionary literally is defined out as to be poured down on and be buried beneath. Thankfully, David goes on to say after that, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And scholars will tell you in the Old Testament, most often when the word rock is used, it is a foreshadowing of Jesus. And so this is what David is saying to us today. Are you ready? This is good. When my emotions and thoughts are poured down on me, and I can barely breathe because of its weight, I need Jesus, who is higher than myself and higher than my circumstances. What David says here, ladies, is we don't have to live under the emotions. We don't have to live under being overwhelmed, feeling as if we are being buried alive where we can barely breathe. Has anyone else felt that at times? And King David is saying here, no, you don't have to stay buried under. You can rise above and stand on the rock named Jesus, who is greater than your emotions, who is greater than your thoughts. And as Joy has been teaching you, and as Joy has been saying, the rock of Jesus is greater than those small rocks, greater than those thorns and those lies of the enemy. The rock of Jesus, man, when we rise above, oh ladies, we can see things from his perspective. Now, if you're like me, I'm like, okay, that sounds good, but how do I live that in my everyday, ordinary life? And I remember one morning, I began to feel that anxiety come on. I began to feel the overwhelmed feeling of everything I had to do. I paused, and I remember thinking, God, there's got to be a better way. And he gave me that morning what I've learned to call the hope meter. And he showed me this. He said, Tracy, it's good. He said, you're praying to me. And that is good. But your eyes are where your hope is found. Your eyes are fixed on your circumstance. And he said, and because of that, although you're praying, because your hope is on your circumstance, when things are going well, how am I going to feel? Great. But when things are going bad, how am I going to feel? Down in the dumps. And God began to say, you are living your life on an emotional roller coaster. And he said, there is a better way. He said, flip it around. He said, pray about your circumstance, but put your hope and your eyes and your gaze higher. And put your hope in me. Now notice, I see my circumstance in my peripheral vision. I'm not in denial that something's happening. I see it very clearly. But my eyes are lifted higher. And let's just take the example. Possibly your child is turning away from God. And what that looks like is, you see your son who's turning away from God. You see the ups and downs. And let me just be real. You're going to feel feelings, are you not? You're going to have thoughts. So while that's going on, your gaze is up. And while he's going up and down, and while the struggle is there, and even with the emotions that are coming, you are saying, when you raise up a child in the way that he should go, he shall not depart from it. Notice this is going on. My eyes stay fixed. No weapon formed against my child shall prosper. No, I thank you, God, no eye has seen and no ear has heard the plans that you have for my son. Remove the wrong people and bring the right people in, for greater are you in my son than he who is in this world. Is this making sense? The circumstance is there. The feelings rise up, but we fix our eyes and our hope on God, for we walk by faith and not by sight. When the emotions want to take you for a ride, as I say, shift your eyes up. Go to the rock that is higher than you. And this high place is so vital as women. It is vital as moms. Because I'm here to tell you, ladies, and this is, I know Joy's been telling you this too. The enemy is after the most important thing in your life. He is after your faith in God, your confidence in knowing who he is. 1 John 5, 4-5 tells us this clearly. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What does it say, ladies? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So today we are going to declare truths over us. We are going to declare truth over our marriages. We are going to declare truth over our children. And when we declare truth, every lie must leave. We are going to go higher today. We are going to see things from his perspective. And so I declare my first truth boldly to you today. God is greater than fear. God is greater than fear. Now, there are two kinds of fear mentioned in the Bible. The first one is Y-A-R-E. And that is when you're in awe and in reverence of God. And that type of fear draws you towards the Lord. You see how magnificent he is. But the fear I'm talking about here is phobos. And that is when we feel panic. That is when we feel terror. That is when the torment comes. And what that type of fear does is it pulls us away from the Lord. And faith and fear cannot coexist. When fear enters the room, faith has to leave. Oh, but here's the good news. When faith enters the room, guess what? The same is true. Fear has to leave. When we are hearing the truth, we are walking in faith and pleasing God. But when we are hearing and receiving the lies, oh man, believe it or not, we are walking in fear and we are pleasing the enemy. And let me just say, when it comes to fear, I've been there and worn the t-shirt. My parents divorced before I was 1 year old, and my dad remarried, started a beautiful family. My mom, however, lost her dad at 9. And so she remarried and remarried and remarried. She tried to fill the God-shaped hole in her soul with men. And one stepfather in particular was very, very abusive to my mom and I. And we began to live in fear. Literally, if my mom didn't vacuum, you girls are really going to feel this. I mean, because we vacuum our floors, you know, especially with kids running around. If my mom didn't vacuum in a perfect line, do you know what I'm talking about on the carpet? She was going to pay for it. If I didn't do my chores at a certain level, I was going to pay for it. And things got to the place where we were being thrown against the wall. Things were happening on a daily basis to where my mom began to fear for our lives. And so she woke me up one night, and I was in eighth grade at the time, and she told me an elaborate plan, and she had me pack a bag. And I remember the next morning waking up and thinking, what a strange dream I had. I went, took a shower, went in to grab my clothes for the day, and there sat my bag that I had packed the night before. And I realized we were about to run for our lives, and I was fearful for my life. I walked out the plan as we had discussed it. I ate breakfast. My mom put the garage door open. She says, "Have a good day." While she's doing that, I'm putting my one-year-old brother in the car. My mom puts the car in neutral. We're backing the car out of the garage. Just before she hits the garage to go down, "Love you." The garage door goes down. We rev the engine, and we are off to a local abuse shelter. And my story, I could go on and on, but for time's sake, I just want to give you the snapshot that I lived under fear every single day, and I did everything I could to please my abuser. But what we all know now in sitting in this room is, can you ever please an abuser? No. And so my mom did something very courageous. Did you know only 1 out of 8 women leave abusive marriages? 1 out of 8. And my mom, she did the courageous thing. She left. But unfortunately, by the time she left, I had a tick in my eye, just blinking uncontrollably because of the stress and the anxiety I had endured. And I had already been, I was clinically depressed. We didn't know that at the time. Depression wasn't talked about the way it was. And so I literally had thoughts of suicide and taking my life every single day. I began hanging out with the gothic crowd. Now listen, I wear black today because I hope it makes me look thinner. Right? Anyone else like black go-to? Thank you, Jesus. You know, but honestly, I wore black in my teen years because it represented death. It's how I felt on the inside. And so my mom caught wind as to how bad things were for me. And so she called my dad, who I hadn't seen in a few years, and said, "You've got to come get her." Well, can you imagine this nice little Christian family? How do you think they felt the call to bring a gothic, depressed, suicidal teenager into your home? They were just a slight bit hesitant, but I remember screaming at the top of my lungs, "If you don't come get me, I'm going to kill myself." And they believed me, and 2 days later, they came and got me. Now, my dad's house wasn't perfect. There was a lot of things there that I had to work through, but he had one rule, and guess what it was? You are going to go to church. I wanted nothing to do with God. My process back then was, what kind of a God would allow a child to be sexually, physically, emotionally, and verbally abused all before 8th grade? But when I went to the church, I began to see something in this youth group. I began to see love. I began to see joy. And let me tell you, my heart was dark, and I saw something in them I wanted. And so my heart began to soften, and I'll never forget the night when I knew it was my time to give my life to God. And so I went forward, and I said a very simple prayer. I remember I just said, "Jesus, if you can do something with this messed up life, I freely give it to you." And I remember I stood up from the altar that night, and the spirit of death left my life. I no longer wanted to kill myself. Now, ladies, being real again, I had years of counseling that I needed to go through. I had to really recognize that fear was so familiar to me, okay? I had pain. I had issues to work on. I needed to extend forgiveness. I needed to gain understanding. But when I accepted him, I saw clearly it was the enemy, John 10:10, who was out to kill, steal, and abuse me. And it was Jesus who was behind my rescue. It was Jesus who brought me abundant life. And ladies, I'm telling you, there comes a time in our life when we have to choose between faith or fear. Faith or fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, we all know it. "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind." Do you want to know what sound mind means in the Greek? Listen, moms. Safe thinking. Good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, the ability to understand and make right decisions. Anyone else want a sound mind? The only way we can have it is to say no to fear and to say yes to faith. Now, I have a funny story to tell you about how God really catapulted my faith. Somehow it became known, I went to Asbury College, and it became known that I was the girl to go to for prayer. And so I got a call from a girl named Jody. She's like, "Tracy, please come up. I need you to pray." And as I walked up the stairs, I knew a little bit about her. I knew she was a preacher's kid. I knew she was struggling in her faith. And I knew that, you know, she was trying to figure out what is it that she believed. So I assume I'm going to walk in and it's just Jody and I, right? Wrong. It is a room full of girls, like 15. And I'm literally thinking, what is going on here? So I said, "Hey, Jody, you know, what's going on?" And now, remember the state you're in college, and you don't have two quarters to rub together. Just keep that in mind. She literally says in panic, "Tracy, this VCR tape," some of you don't even know what that is, "this VCR tape will not come out of this VCR machine. And if I don't get it back in 10 minutes, I owe $10 and we don't have it." And so I'm literally thinking, what is it that you want me to do here? And then all of a sudden, something rose up. Faith or fear? Faith or fear? I wanted to run out of the room, but I knew that God had something more. So I began quickly thinking, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What's a scripture I can stand on? Okay, yes, I got one. Okay, so I walk up to the VCR machine, and this is all I could come up with the scripture. "In the name of Jesus, VCR tape, come out." He did it. And so I backed up. That's what he said one time. And Jody's like this. And she pushes the eject button, and the VCR tape comes out, and the whole room applauses. You know, I mean, everyone breaks out into applause. Now, I know that sounds silly, and I know that's funny, but I want to tell you something. I believe Jesus was showing Jody that day, I care about the small, I care about the big. And I think what he was showing me was, you know what? You had a choice, faith or fear. And I moved forward in faith. And what I didn't know was that VCR story that's so crazy and silly, and I still think, did that really happen? And did I really pray that prayer? I would be years later at an altar with a girl named Carissa in her 20s with young children. And she had a tumor, a cancerous tumor the size of a baseball in her stomach. And she said, "Tracy, they're going to be doing an operation and surgery on me in a couple weeks." And she said, "Will you pray for me?" And right then and there, faith or fear? Faith or fear? And I again thought, faith. I'm going to move forward. Again, Jesus, what would you do? What would you pray? Guess what scripture came to mind? Sometimes I'm like, "Jesus, really?" He said, "Remember when I cursed the fig tree?" I'm like, "Yeah." And so I put my hand on her stomach and I said, "I curse this cancer at the root and I declare, as Jesus did to the fig tree, that it will not be fruitful, that it will disintegrate in the name of Jesus." And so we exchanged numbers. And she called me a few weeks later and she said, "Tracy, when they opened me up, there was no tumor to be found." Faith or fear? Faith or fear? Now, let me just get real for a second. Let's put a pause. There have been times you and I have prayed a prayer and Jesus didn't move the way we wanted him to. Amen, ladies? I sit with women, and if you heard my story fully or if you heard theirs, there's a few of you in here. If I told you what I hear at week after week, you may not be able to get up in the morning. You may not be able to step foot out of your bed. But every morning, I pull back the covers and I do what Lamentations 3:21 says. I dare to hope. I dare to believe. And let me tell you, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I may not know why I'm going through a situation, and I may not even know what to do about it, but I can be confident in who he is. And whether he supernaturally heals like he did with my friend Carissa that day, or whether he heals through doctors and medicine, amen, or whether that healing happens when we enter the gates of heaven, I know the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy, and I know it is Jesus who is the healer and the rescuer. Amen. And until I breathe my last breath, I'm going to dare to believe Romans 8:28 that God will work all things for good. I'm going to dare to believe Matthew 19:26 that nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to dare to believe, ladies, Psalm 61, that there's a high place above my emotions and above my thoughts. And when you come to me and anyone comes to me for prayer of healing, I will stretch out my hand. Because see, faith has nothing to do with me or you. Faith has nothing to do with what I pray or you pray. Faith is just believing the word of God and letting it do his will. Believing the word of God, that's all it is. Has nothing to do with us. So if you come to me, I will stretch out my hand and I will boldly declare Psalm 107, for God sent his word and healed you of every disease. I will boldly declare. Again, faith is simply believing his word. Nothing to do with me. Everything to do with him. Because he is good. Just a few weeks ago, I took my daughter to a trampoline place. Anybody else? Those places are crazy. But my daughter loves them. And so she's jumping away. I started talking to a mom. And her son ran up. He had been playing dodgeball. And literally, the ball hit him and got the wind knocked out of him. And his eyes were as big as saucers. You could just tell. He couldn't catch his breath. And so I said to the mom, hey, I'm a counselor. Can I talk to him and pray for him? She's like, yeah. And I said, honey, look at me. Look at me. And he looked over. I said, God created your body to breathe. You don't have to fear. God will help you get your breath. I told him, even if you pass out, your body was created to breathe. And I put my hand on his head and I just said, Jesus, I pray peace, remove all fear. Help him to breathe. Within 10 minutes, that little kid was out running around. Ladies, I'm here to tell you every day, we have a choice to walk in faith, move forward, or backward in fear. There are times we need to lay hands on our children. There are times we need to say to that mama at the local park, and maybe they get hurt, hey, can I pray for your kid? I'm here to tell you every day, faith or fear. Faith or fear. Does this make sense? Faith or fear. And it's, again, faith only in who God is. The second truth is God's word is above our feelings. And I know we already kind of illustrated that in Psalm 61. But I lived a time when if I felt it, it must be true. Wrong. And I realized in order to become a woman of faith, which I so desperately wanted to do, I needed to walk out Romans 10:17. For faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And I'll never forget when I found this scripture, and she's going to put it up. It's 1 John 3:20. It changed my life. You know, you have those life verses that when you find it, you're like, this is life-changing. Here's what it says. For if our heart, and remember, that's thoughts and emotions, condemn us. And oh, do they ever, ladies, do they not? For if our emotions and thoughts condemn us, God is greater than our emotions and thoughts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart, our thoughts and emotions do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And I have some quotes up here that I just love. The first one is, to be in faith requires not considering the natural impossibilities around you, but God's promises concerning them. I love this one. Faith is not a sense, it is not nor sight, nor reason, but taking God at his word. That's why you being here week after week. Oh man, your faith is increasing, ladies. Your faith is increasing just by sitting here. And I want to ask you this question. How would your life change if you really, really believed God's word over you and over your family? What if you felt the feelings? What if you had the thoughts, but you knew the scriptures we're looking at today in 1 John 3:20 and Psalm 61 that God is greater than this feeling, and God is greater than this thought. We've got to determine that God's word is above our feelings. It's kind of like, ladies, hopefully we all go to the bank. I know we do a lot of us electronically, but we make deposits in our bank account, right? Please, Jesus, we just thank you for more. daycare, everything. Help us, Lord. But when we make deposits in our bank account, we then know we can make withdrawals when the bills are there. The same is true. We need to make deposits of faith. We need to be in God's word, as Romans 10:17, depositing, over, hearing, reading, right, Joy? Reading. Because when the trial comes, and it does, we have our faith and we have God's word to withdraw from. And I'm telling you, the word is the rock above. It is the rock above. I love Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. Our feelings lie to us every day, but God always tells us the truth. I say it like this: truth supersedes fact. Truth supersedes fact. Love that. We could just teach on that all morning. The third truth I want to say over you today is God's truth exposes lies and deception. Oh, man. Listen, mamas. What we believe about the nature of God and who he is determines how our day will go. As a woman and as a mom. And where the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus is there to bring life. God is good. He's kind. He's generous. He's loving. His love for you never changes. And that is the truth. But some of the lies we believe are because of the words people have spoken over us. I remember in fifth grade with a stepfather, I couldn't figure out a math problem. My daughter, I'm like, we're going to have to get you a tutor, honey. I'm sorry. Math is just not my thing. Those of you that know it, do you tutor? Give me your name and number, please. Seriously, I could use the help with my daughter. And so I just couldn't figure it out. Well, this stepfather was an engineer. He was brilliant. And I remember he got so frustrated with me that he grabbed me by my hair and he lifted me off the ground by holding my hair alone and said, "You are stupid and you will amount to nothing." You see, that lie was spoken over me. And there came a day when I had to decide whose opinions matter. Another scripture, life scripture, that I just love that illustrates this is Psalm 45, verse 10. And it's best in the NIV. It's best in the NIV. You know, some translations just say it in a way that just cuts to the heart. Listen, it says this: "Listen, O daughter, consider and give ear. Forget your people. Forget your father's house. The king is enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord." Who we listen to is who we give our honor to. I'm going to say it again. Who we listen to is who we give honor to. And I love this scripture says, forget your people. Forget what people have said about you. Forget what people believe about you. And then it goes further. Forget your father's house. For some of us, it's our family that have hurt us the most with their words. It's our family that think these thoughts toward us. And let me just say, in Psalm 103, it illustrates and it says, man is dust. So let me show you what we do, mamas, when we care about the opinions of man. Watch. Man is dust. Let me find a piece. Oh, speck of dust, do you think I'm worthy? Will you love me? Will you speak words of life over me so I want to live? Meanwhile, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is enthralled with you. And he says in Ephesians 1 alone, you are chosen, you are holy, you are blameless, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are redeemed, you are forgiven, you have an inheritance, and he has amazing plans for you. We've got to stop bowing to dust. Does this point bring it home? We are bowing to dust when we care more about the opinions of other moms. We are bowing to dust when we care what the world thinks about us. We are saying to a speck of dust, do you think I'm worthy? While our Creator in heaven gave us Psalm 45. Ladies, he's enthralled with you. Do you know what enthralled means? He is captivated. It says in Ephesians 1 that you were created for his glory. We have got to decide that his opinion matters over dust. Amen. Amen. Take it home. Take it home. Some of the lies we believe come from our experiences. Our disappointment, our hurt, our trauma, and loss. And when we're wounded, we are more vulnerable to hear the enemy's lies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, Ephesians 6. And although it says in Ephesians 1:13 that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, I know Joy's been teaching you, there are oppressive forces. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so there are whispers and there are lies. Okay? And so I want to just take a moment and show you what I do with some of my clients to teach you how a stronghold of lies are built. Are you ready? First, and she'll put it up here, we hear a lie. Then we receive it over and over. It takes a while for a stronghold to be built. We hear it. We receive it. And then we act on it. And before too long, it becomes a stronghold. And I'm going to give you an example of a couple clients, and they have given me permission to share this with you today. One client at the age of 8 heard a lie. At 8 years old, are you listening? 8 years old, she heard the lie, you need to be on a diet. Now, she was a gymnast. Okay? And so she heard it and she received it and she acted on it by she only allowed herself to eat 800 calories a day. And so over a period of time, a stronghold of an eating disorder developed in her life. And she came into my office in her 20s. She was married, but she wanted to have children, but this stronghold was in her way. And just as how a stronghold of lies are built, so is a stronghold of truth. So we'll put that screen up for you. The same thing, you hear the truth. So she and I began processing that was a lie she heard. And she began to look up every scripture she could find on food in the Word of God. She began looking every scripture she could find on how everything God created was good. And she began to act on that by she would put a healthy meal in front of her, and she acted on it by praying, and she would quote a scripture in 2 Timothy, and she would say, God, you say in your word that everything you create is good and for my enjoyment. I receive this as truth to my mind, my body, and my spirit. And as she did this truth over and over again, guess what, precious one? She has 2 beautiful children, and she is free from her eating disorder. Another client, she came to me, and she was scared of her older brother growing up. He was physically and verbally abusive toward her and her parents. And so to cope with the fear, you would find her most days when her brother would have a tantrum. She would run to a room, and she would put on the record by Simon and Garfunkel. And she would shake as she sang, I am a rock, I am an island. She would shake. And through singing that over and over again, she learned to turn off her emotions like a faucet on a sink. And she determined that no one else was ever going to hurt her again. That she would rather be alone be a rock and an island than be hurt. But the problem was she came to me in her 30s, and she was lonely. Islands are lonely, are they not? And she wanted to be married. And this coping skill that helped her in her childhood was now in the way of her getting her heart's desire. Does this make sense? She put a wall up around her heart, and while she did a good job of keeping the bad out, she also kept the good out, right? And so she and I immediately, I just said, hey, listen. And we began to discuss how that coping skill was good at the time. Do you realize by her doing that, she was loving herself? She was protecting herself? She was doing everything she could in her best ability to love and protect herself. And so we just began to say, hey, that coping skill got you safely here today. Amen? But now, it was getting in her way. So every day, she would set a timer for 15 minutes and allow herself to feel. Literally a timer. And she would get in God's word and just begin to, as we talked about with my other client, just hear the truth. Hear the truth. Receive it. And she began to act it out by she joined a small group. And she began to allow women in her life. And when she felt hurt, she would come in and we would process it and she would feel it. That was huge for her. And she left that island behind her that kept her alone, and she's now married and enjoying life. There's no shame or condemnation in Christ, ladies. And if there's any coping skill that you have used to love and protect yourself, God understands. As a counselor, I can tell you, well done. That coping skill has helped you get here today. But if that coping skill, like my client, is now in your way of you getting a heart's desire, you can lay it down and you can ask God for his overcoming power. Because he's good and he wants to heal you everywhere you hurt, in the deep places from even your childhood. And I love this truth, that God's truth exposes lies and deception. Isn't that a good truth? The last truth I want to focus on today is resting and receiving from God is the most secure place we can be. Oh man, this is my favorite point. This is where he has me right now. And so I'm going to head to this chair, and I'm just going to show you, ladies, just be vulnerable and share with you and show you how I have learned to receive from God. Now, this may or may not work for you, and it's okay. The Holy Spirit, if this, the way I do it, doesn't work for you, all you have to do is say, Lord, will you show me how I can position myself to receive from you? Does that make sense? Because I don't know about you, ladies. We live in a world where we have to guard our heart. We have to set boundaries with unsafe people, right? But when it comes to time with God, we don't need to protect ourselves. We don't have to set those boundaries because he's good and he is safe. But I personally have had a hard time shifting from the doing, the mom, the nurturer, the giver. And how do I shift over and allow myself to rest and receive from God? And so this is what I do. And if it works for you, awesome. And if not, just ask God. But this whole point is that God wants us, I love to say it this way, to take from him. He wants us to take from him. We can rest and receive. And so when I begin to feel overwhelmed, as I told you in the beginning, I stop and pause and I run to the word. So we're just going to spend a few moments. I'm going to give you some scriptures about how he wants us to receive. Are you ready? This is so good. We're just going to soak this in for a minute. Matthew 6:33 in the Message says this. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Wow, moms. That's why I'm in a comfy chair. Maybe it's a sofa for you. And can I just be real? This is like my Calgon take me away time. Like, I don't get a lot of free time unless I get up at 5 a.m. before my kids. which I did this morning, thank you, God. Or while my daughter's sleeping and taking a nap. Like, the me time is very, very few. Very, 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 not a lot of time. So when I do this, I'm just going to be real. I have a cup of coffee right here. I put my feet up. I have a blanket. I have some water. And I mean, I just really put my head back. And it is, I make it luxurious because it's all I've got. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting and doing, so you can respond to God's giving. Psalm 31, verses 3 through 5 in the Message. You're my cave to hide in, my cliff to climb. Be my safe leader. Be my true mountain guide. Free me from the hidden traps. I want to hide in you. I've put my life in your hands. You won't drop me. You'll never let me down. Jesus, thank you that you are safe. I have had other leaders and other people in authority be unsafe and let me down. But God, you are a safe leader. Father, be what this says here. Be my true mountain guide as a mom. You created my children. Will you show me how to raise them? Show me, be my mountain guide on how to discipline this issue. Help me, God, be my safe leader that I can trust. And Father, you won't drop me. People have dropped me, but God, you never will. Thank you that I don't have to set boundaries with you, but I can receive from you, for you are good and you are kind and you are gracious and you love me at my best day and you love me at my worst. You love me when I get it right with my kids and you love me when I get it wrong and I have to apologize later. Your love never changes. You are safe. Thank you. Psalm 31, verses 14 through 15 in the Message says, desperate. Again, it's moving from the doing to just, I'm desperate. I throw myself on you. I mean, I feel that way, ladies. I just throw myself on them. I don't know where else to go. You are my God. Hour by hour, I place my days, my parenting in your hand, safe from the hands out to get me. And I love this. Warm me, your servant, with a smile. Save me because you love me. Oh, Jesus, you love me. Save me from myself. Save me, God, because you love me. Just receive that truth. Read the word. Matthew 12, 20. For a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He is gentle, and even when he corrects us, it's in love. He does it lovingly. John 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you, mamas, of things yet to come. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never forces his way on you. And that's why setting this time to just receive, okay, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, allow him to bring the word of God into your heart, is so important, because he will never force it on you, because he is good and kind and gentle and gracious. And so this truth of learning to receive is so important. And the last one I want to give you today, which is really what gave me the idea to do this in my life, is Matthew 6, 6, on how to receive from him. This is where you'll find me every day at some point. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there. As simply and honestly as you can manage. You know what? As much as you're able. Isn't that good? The focus will shift from you to God. And here's the key. And you will begin to sense his grace. And so after I've read his word, I put my head back and I put my palms up. It's what I do because I'm setting boundaries. I'm guarding. I'm doing. And so after I've read his word, when I kick back, I put my palms up because to me it's like I can receive from you. And so this may work for you or not. I'm just being real with you with what I do. I put my palms up and I ask one question every day. You may want to write this down. Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to receive from you today? Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to receive from you today? Let's ask it together. Ready? Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to receive from you today? And I listen. The older I get, the less talking I do, and the more listening I do. And sometimes, ladies, I'll hear a word, peace. What I hear most days, and you're going to find this funny, and you're going to identify, is I hear him say, strength. And he often follows it up with a scripture. In Isaiah, it says that he will give power to those who have no might. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the Father, the creator of the universe never grows weary, nor does he faint. But he gives power to those who have no might. And so he may give me that scripture. And even if you don't hear anything or sense anything in that time, just taking that time to ask that question, what you will find is whether it's then or it's later or the tomorrow when you're driving carpool, you will hear the Holy Spirit speak to you when you give him permission. Ladies, I've got to tell you, he wants us to receive. He wants to restore things in our life. It was just a few years ago that my husband and I were sitting around and we had just put up our Christmas tree and we had hot chocolate in hand. And my husband said, you know, let's talk about stories from Christmas past. And so he went on and on about his childhood. And literally they called my husband the monster child. Like we giggled and laughed about that because he's so fabulous, as Joy said now. But he was a monster child. There's hope for our children. Thank you, Jesus, that the monster child can become a man of God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. You are above. Anyway, so he looked at me and he said, what about you? What are some great memories from your Christmases past? And I sobbed, like the ugly cry, like snot flying, ladies. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like there's the pretty cry, oh, Jesus, you're moving. And then there's the, I mean, I was like all over the place. And my husband was thinking, oh, my goodness, what just happened here? So he comes over and he consoles me, you know, and I just said, honey, I'm sorry, but Christmas and like my family drama go together like macaroni and cheese. I said, I don't know what it is, but if there's not trauma or drama going on in my immediate family, there's something in my extended family. So again, like macaroni and cheese, Christmas and holiday drama just go together. And he said, we are not leaving this couch until you come up with a good memory. And I thought, Jesus, please help me. It was 10 o'clock at the time, and I was like, Jesus, help me. And so I remembered. I said, you know what, honey? There was a Christmas that I had a really great memory. And it was a Christmas that my aunt and uncle traveled from Illinois to Ohio, where we lived at the time. And she gave me this game called Stop Thief. And we chased this fictitious thief all over the game board. And we stayed up until 2 or 3 in the morning laughing. And let me tell you, we lived in the house with my abuser. And so there wasn't much laughter and there wasn't much joy. And so this was a highlight to me. And my husband said, where's the game? We've got to play it. I said, honey, I've lived in 8 states. I have no idea where that game ended up. He said, you're going to Toys R Us tomorrow and you are going to get the game. He's so great. And so I went to Toys R Us. I'm searching the aisles. I'm looking everywhere. I can't find it. So I go up to this really cute clerk, and I told her what I'm looking for. She types Stop Thief name into the computer, and she looks at me. I'm 32 at the time. Are you ready? Ma'am, that's a vintage game. I thought, I am 32 years old, and I'm considered vintage already. So I go home defeated. I tell my husband, he's so great. He said, have no fear, eBay is here. Now, I had not been on eBay, but he had. And so I said, honey, there is not going to be a Stop Thief game. It's vintage, remember? And so we go on. There were three games being sold. We picked which one. I had never done it, but we bid. And we even upped the bid in case someone else bid me out. Y'all, it's fun. So the next morning I get up, we won. I mean, I was so excited. And I'll never forget, the seller contacted me, and he said, you know, it'll be arriving in 2 days, UPS, it'll come to your door. I thanked him. And so I remember the night the package was there. I'd counseled that day, and I put the package on the kitchen counter, and I opened it up and just thought, oh, I get to play it again. And I lifted it out of the box, and there was my handwriting on the front cover. Jesus not only gave me a Stop Thief game, he gave me my original game back. And when I saw that, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Tracy, I'm going to restore the years the locusts have eaten from your life. And ladies, I'm here to tell you, if God can get a game out of one of the states I lived in, he sold it. He bought it at a yard sale. He sold it the exact time and day that I bid. It went from Illinois, and it landed on my doorstep in Atlanta. What will he not do for you? He is good, and he is gracious, and he is kind, and he loves to restore, and he wants you to receive from him. Oh man, he is good. I got to tell you how I knew it was mine, and they're going to put it on the screen here because you're going to think it's funny. It literally said, and I picked a red clicky pen on purpose, I love Michael Jackson. Do you remember the Thriller video, the red leather jacket? Thriller! And I remember that year I wanted that red leather jacket, and I wanted to dance like Michael Jackson. You know, I just wanted to do it. And so I remember writing that, and there's some other scribble on there too. And so this article, someone found my blog, and it hit every grocery store aisle in America a few years ago about God's restoration power. And I'm just here to say, ladies, what does God want to restore in your life? Peace, joy, faith, the ability to receive again, the ability to dream again. What has the enemy stolen from you? And what does God want to bring back? God's heart is to heal and restore. And he will do whatever he wants according to his will. And he will use whomever he wants. And mama, it might as well be you. It might as well be you. If we'll have the prayer partners just go in the back and stand. I'd love to hear from you how God's touched your life. Especially if you begin to sit and receive. If you'll just let me know, just contact me. My website's tracyhurst.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to take me home with you, I have a devotional. You can go on Amazon. You can go to any local bookstore. Tuesdays with Tracy, it's a devotional. You can sit and take me home with you. But I'm here to tell you the truth. God is greater than fear. His word is above your feelings. His truth exposes lies and deception. And ladies, he wants you to receive from him. So Father, we just thank you. Thank you that you always tell us the truth. You will never lie to us. You are safe and you are good. And you are gracious and you are kind, and where people have dropped us and disappointed us, God, you will never let us fall. God, you are with us. And Father, I don't know, there may be a woman here who's tried everything else like I did. And maybe they're saying, you know what? I want to move forward in faith. Maybe they're saying, you know what? I'm done living in fear. I don't want it anymore. I want to move forward in faith. I want to move toward God, and I want to believe his word as never before. Maybe you're one of those that, like my clients and like myself, you have old coping skills that were good at the time, and they helped you, but maybe now they're in the way of you receiving in a relationship, in your marriage. Maybe it's in the way of you really loving your kids the way you want to. And if that's you, amen. Today's your day, and we will pray with you, and we can lay down those old coping skills, and we can lay down those old belief systems that are barriers and holding you back. Oh, you can move forward in faith today. You can overcome, and you can be free today, because his truth supersedes fact. I'm here to tell you that you can fully receive. You can fully receive. And so if today the Lord's ministered to you and you are saying, you know what, Tracy, I want to agree with someone in prayer. I want to confess and I want to expose the enemy and I want to move in deeper depths of a woman of faith, just grab me. Grab one of these women back here. We will agree with you and we will pray with you. And most importantly, we will declare God's truth over you. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room. I thank you that you know every woman by name. You know every hair. You know every child. You know every concern. And so, Father, I lay them at your feet. And Jesus, will you move and heal and restore? God, I'm asking that you do miracles for them as you have done in my life. Father, I shouldn't be alive today, but God. I shouldn't have my original game back, but God. Father, I shouldn't be a counselor and helping people get free because of all I've been through, but God. Father, be the but God in their lives. And Father, we thank you. So ladies, I give you permission right now. If you'll just stand to your feet. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And if you want prayer, you just come on back. Thank you for having me. I bless you, and I'll see you back there. Bless you.